Cities nationwide are increasingly turning to computer algorithms to predict crimes. Philadelphia is developing its own computer model to help figure out which criminal defendants should get high bail and which should stay free while awaiting trial. But as WHYY's Katie Culinary reports, that tool has sparked a debate about whether big data really does lead to better decisions or just reinforces big bias.
Of the roughly 7,400 people sitting in Philadelphia's jails right now, more than half of them aren't there because they've been found guilty of a crime. They've been accused of one and are waiting for trial. Many of them just can't afford to pay bail. That's what happened to Joshua Glenn. When he was 16, Glenn was arrested and accused of shooting another guy in the arm, a crime he says he didn't commit. Glenn was charged with aggravated assault, but he didn't have $2,000 to bail himself out. He called his mom.
I mean, I just called her to say hi. I knew I was getting out of jail. I knew that they didn't have the money. I mean, I did have friends too, but you got to keep in mind, you're 16. We're all kids. How many kids you know got $2,000?
So Glenn sat in jail for 18 months. Prosecutors eventually dropped Glenn's charges. There wasn't enough evidence to convict him. But by then, he'd paid a heavy price.
You know, I missed a lot of crucial times as a young person in my life just through school. You miss your prom, you miss your graduation, you miss all for something that I had nothing to do with.
Philadelphia's criminal justice system is hoping to prevent this from happening. In the spring, the city announced a $3.5 million foundation grant to help it cut the population in its overcrowded jails. One goal is to decrease the number of people just waiting for trial by 20%. So how do the courts figure out who should be locked up and who should go free? That's where this guy comes in.
I'm Richard Burke. I'm a professor at the University of Pennsylvania.
Burke is an applied statistician who specializes in building computer algorithms called risk assessment tools that predict future criminal behavior. How does it work? Burke says it's like going to a bar with friends.
And you're having a beer or two and someone comes up to you and starts talking to you.
You have to decide whether to talk to him or to blow him off.
You have years of experience. You draw on that experience and you say, well, this guy's a jerk. I'm not going to talk with him more. Gee, this guy's kind of nice, kind of interesting. I'm going to encourage the conversation. Computers do the same thing.
Burke gives computers training data about thousands of previous cases to help them learn how to understand new situations.
In the case of the bar scene, should I encourage this conversation or should I not? In the case of criminal justice, should I release this person or should I incarcerate?
Eventually, everyone who's arrested in Philadelphia and goes before a bail commissioner will be run through Burke's risk assessment tool. They'll get a score, putting them into one of three categories: low, medium, or high risk. That score will guide commissioners in deciding whether to set bail and how high to set it based on how likely the defendant is to skip court or commit another crime. Combined with other reforms like creating alternatives to cash bail, the city estimates this plan could free up more than 1,600 jail beds, which could save roughly $30 million in taxpayer dollars. Proponents also say making data-informed decisions will help eliminate bias. But not everyone agrees. Paul Hetznecker is a defense attorney who's been at it for 30 years. He supports all the reforms the city is planning to make, except for this one thing. That's because Hetznecker thinks the data that go into these risk assessment tools are biased.
If you're in a poor neighborhood and racist police have been arresting generations of individuals, how do you take that into account in terms of the risk assessment?
Hetznecker fully agrees the current system of leaving it up to bail commissioners who may have biases of their own is flawed. But he doesn't see how it fixes anything to switch to a system full of data tainted by what he sees as years of biased police tactics. Burke says court officials have asked him to leave out data about race and zip code from Philadelphia's risk assessment tool. He understands why, but insists that factors like where defendants live do have an impact on how risky it is to release them before trial.
There's very little crime where I live in Philadelphia. Maybe there's a lot of crime where you live in Philadelphia. Those are real factors that are associated with crime. If you don't allow us to use those, we're going to be forecasting less accurately. We may be more fair. That's arguable.
Burke says not including zip codes and race would ensure fairness, but make predictions less accurate.
How many aggravated assaults, how many homicides, how many rapes are you prepared to trade for an instrument that's race neutral?
That's the dilemma officials involved in Philadelphia's reform effort have to sort out. Keir Bradford Gray, head of the city's Defenders Association, says the way pretrial decisions are made does need to be improved. But she's also concerned the tool will err on the side of keeping some people in jail while they're presumed innocent.
We want to make sure that what's in these risk assessments are something that we can measure and balance so that it doesn't create an overly biased situation for some. And we want to also make sure that risk assessments aren't the sole piece of information that is used to determine bail.
Bradford Gray wants bail commissioners to take into account more information about defendants' lives, whether they have families and ties to their communities, whether they have addictions or other problems that need to be addressed. The risk assessment tool is supposed to be ready by next spring. Katie Culinary, WHYY News.